With apparent ceremony, the golem smashed it carefully on Sock's scalp and dropped him. The golem's former co-workers jumped back out of the way as Dorfel walked back through the slaughterhouse. There was a tally board on the entrance. Dorfel looked at it for a while, then picked up the chalk and wrote, "No, Master." The chalk crumbled in his fingers. Dorfel walked out into the fog. Cherie looked up from her workbench. "The wick's full of arsenous acid," she said. "Well done, sir. This candle even weighs slightly more than other candles."
"What an evil way to kill anyone," said Angua.
"Certainly very clever," said Vimes. "Vetinari sits up half the night writing, and in the morning the candle's burned down. Poisoned by the light. The light's something you don't see. Who looks at the light? Not some plodding old copper."
"Oh, you're not that old, sir," said Carrot cheerfully.
"What about plodding?"
"Or that plodding either," Carrot added quickly. "I've always pointed out to people that you walk in a very purposeful and meaningful manner."
Vimes gave him a sharp look and saw nothing more than a keen and innocently helpful expression.
"We don't look at the light, because the light is what we look with," said Vimes. "Okay, and now I think we should go and have a look at the candle factory, shouldn't we? You come, Little Bottom, and bring your... Have you got taller, Little Bottom?"
"High heel boots, sir," said Cherie.
"I thought dwarfs always wore iron boots."
"Yes, sir, but I've got high heels on mine, sir. I welded them on."
"Oh, fine, right." Vimes pulled himself together. "Well, if you could still totter, bring your alchemy stuff with you. Detritus should have come off duty from the palace. When it comes to locked doors, you can't beat Detritus. He's a walking crowbar. We'll pick him up on the way."
He loaded his crossbow and lit a match.
"Right," he said. "We've done it the modern way. Now let's try policing like Grandfather used to do it. It's time to..."
"Prod buttock, sir," said Carrot hurriedly.
"Close," said Vimes, taking a deep drag and blowing out a smoke ring. "But no cigar."
Sergeant Colon's view of the world was certainly changing. Just when something was about to fix itself firmly in his mind as the worst moment of his entire life, it was hurriedly replaced by something even nastier. Firstly, the drainpipe he was riding hit the wall of the building opposite. In a well-organised world, he might have landed on a fire escape, but fire escapes were unknown in Ankh-Morpork, and the flames generally had to leave via the roof. With the pipe thus leaning against the wall, he found himself sliding down the diagonal. Even this might have been a happy outcome were it not for the fact that Colon was a heavy man, and as his weight slid nearer to the middle of the unsupported pipe, the pipe sagged, and cast iron has only a very limited amount of sag before it snaps, which it now did. Colon dropped and landed on something soft, at least softer than the street, and the something went... He bounced off it and landed on something lower and softer, which went bah, and rolled from this onto something even lower and apparently made of feathers, which went insane and pecked him. The street was full of animals, milling around uncertainly. When animals are in a state of uncertainty, they get nervous, and the street was already, as it were, paved with anxiety. The only benefit to Sergeant Colon was that this made it slightly softer than would otherwise have been the case. Hooves trod on his hands. Very large, dribbly noses sneezed at him. Sergeant Colon had not hitherto had a great deal of experience of animals, except in portion sizes. When he'd been little, he'd had a pink stuffed pig called Mr. Dreadful, and he'd got up to Chapter 6 in Animal Husbandry. It had woodcuts in it. There was no mention of hot, smelly breath and great clomping feet like soup plates on a stick. Cows in Sergeant Colon's book should go moo. Every child knew that. They shouldn't go boo like some kind of undersea monster and spray you with spit. He tried to get up, skidded on some cow's moment of crisis, and sat down on a sheep. It went blah. What kind of noise was that for a sheep to make? He got up again and tried to make his way back to the curb. Shoo! Get out of the damn way, you sheep! Gone! A goose hissed at him and stuck out altogether too much neck. Colon backed off and stopped when something nudged him in the back. It was a pig. It was no Mr. Dreadful. This wasn't the little piggy that went to market, or the little piggy that stayed at home. It would be quite hard to imagine what kind of foot would have a piggy like this, but it would probably be the kind that also had hair and scales and toenails like cashew nuts. This piggy was the size of a pony. This piggy had tusks, and it wasn't pink. It was a blue-black colour and covered with sharp hair, but it did have, let's be fair, thought Colon, little red piggy eyes.
This little piggy looked like the little piggy that killed the boar hounds, disemboweled the horse, and ate the huntsman. Colan turned around and came face to face with a bull-like beef cube on legs. It turned its huge head from side to side so that each rolling eye could get a sight of the sergeant. But it was clear that neither